Sherlock, scene 8. At last! At last!
Sherlock resisted the urge to shove Mycroft down the stairs. That man is in a hellish amount of pain and doesn't need to hear. Every injury John sustained, he sustained willingly to keep me alive, and the least you can offer him is simple consideration if respect is too much to ask. Mycroft regarded him with a somber expression. I've told you what you need to know, Sherlock snapped. And I'll tell you this. Wilkes is a tea boy. He has no experience in the field and certainly isn't familiar with the etiquette of wet work. And I'll tell you this. Wilkes is a tea boy. He has no experience in the field and certainly isn't familiar with the etiquette of wet work. Mycroft shrugged. Friend. Friend. Sherlock barked a little laugh. Sherlock barked a little laugh. Did he? Oh, good for you, John. Did he? Oh, good for you, John. John has very strong opinions regarding the measures required to ensure my safety. John has very strong opinions regarding the measures required to ensure my safety. Sherlock firmly repressed the memory of the expression on John's face as he threw himself into the fleet. Mycroft was barely audible. Sorry? Sorry. Sherlock stared at his brother, genuinely taken aback. Mycroft adjusted his gloves for a moment.
Mycroft, have you been drinking?
Mycroft, have you been drinking? Sherlock glanced back up the stairs, unsettled. John could not possibly know. He had no data. Why? Sherlock glanced back up the stairs, unsettled. John could not possibly know. He had no data. Why?
Sherlock called his expression to order, cursing inwardly. It's ancient history, and long settled. It has no bearing on...
Sherlock hesitated, considering. Probably not. Probably not. Probably not. Sherlock struggled to regain his balance.
You saved our lives. You saved our lives.
Mycroft turned toward the door.
It wasn't entirely your doing, Mycroft. It wasn't entirely your doing, Mycroft, Sherlock heard himself saying. What happened in the sewers was completely out of your hands. What happened in the sewers was completely out of your hands.
Sherlock drew an uneven breath.
Even Mycroft Holmes can't control the tide. Even Mycroft Holmes can't control the tide.
Mycroft snorted and opened the door. Mycroft closed the door behind him, and Sherlock trudged up the stairs, feeling every moment of the past 3 days. It was the first time he could remember Mycroft's advice ever making sense. This, if nothing else, was evidence that his mental faculties were severely impaired. Sherlock paused by the sofa, surprised to see that John had covered himself with Sherlock's coat. Throat tightening, he bent over John, brushing his hair back from his forehead. John's eyes opened. He asked sleepily. Yes, he's assigned a team to the house. Go back to sleep. Yes, he's assigned a team to the house. Go back to sleep. John muttered something about Sherlock needing to rest, but he was already asleep. Sherlock rooted out some nicotine patches and applied them, then pulled his favourite chair next to the sofa and eased into it, leaning forward with closed eyes and steepled fingers. Sebastian Wilkes wasn't running, and that definitely was a three-patch problem. Because Sherlock knew Sebastian Wilkes, the man was an idiot and a coward to his core. He hadn't become involved with the theft of the chip out of devotion to any political ideology or even for profit. It had been a lark. He was too stupid to comprehend the consequences, and the murder of a courier and the theft of British state secrets had merely fueled his elaborate fantasies. The fact that Sherlock had become involved had only enhanced that delusion. How it must have delighted Wilkes to hear that Sherlock was unable to open his little box. That must have given him more pleasure than any of the photos Cullen had sent him. And Sherlock didn't doubt that the photos had given him pleasure. He knew only too well Wilkes's tastes in that regard. My boss would love you. My boss would love you. For my boss would love you, I think maybe it might be interesting to play with maybe overlapping Sherlock's My Boss Would Love You with the original My Boss Would Love You, Cullen's, to make it more apparent that it is something that he's remembered that Cullen was saying. Or even just to have it be Cullen having said that without Sherlock overlapping it at all. Anyway, that's my idea. My boss would love you. The words came unbidden to Sherlock's mind, and he struggled to re-establish order amongst the resulting cacophony of thought. Over Sherlock's dead body would Seb Wilkes be putting his hands on John Watson. He'd been an idiot. He should never have introduced them. Sherlock sneered at his own foolishness. It had been born of some childish desire to prove that he had moved on, no doubt. That he was not universally hated. That someone valued him and chose to spend time in his company. Pathetic. The very act of seeking approval from Sebastian Wilkes proved that he had not moved on. His conditioning was intact. Over Sherlock's dead body would Seb Wilkes be putting his hands on John Watson. He'd been an idiot. He should never have introduced them. Sherlock sneered at his own foolishness. It had been born of some childish desire to prove that he had moved on, no doubt, that he was not universally hated, that someone valued him and chose to spend time in his company. Pathetic. The very act of seeking approval from Sebastian Wilkes proved that he had not moved on. His conditioning was intact. However it had come to Wilkes's attention, and Sherlock had several theories about this, including that ludicrous blog John insisted on writing. Wilkes had no doubt been surprised that John was still living with Sherlock almost a year after their meeting. Sherlock had been surprised as well. He hadn't given it 2 months himself. And yet, here was John Watson, quietly establishing himself in every aspect of Sherlock's life. Had that fueled Wilkes's determination to pursue this business far beyond the recovery of that damned chip? A little punishment, perhaps, to teach Sherlock that no one who leaves Sebastian Wilkes was entitled to find comfort elsewhere, and a little terror to convince John Watson to leave Sherlock Holmes to his own devices. That last would probably have worked with anyone but John. Wilkes had, no doubt, been surprised that John was still living with Sherlock almost a year after their meeting. Sherlock had been surprised as well. He wouldn't have given it 2 months himself. And yet, here was John Watson, quietly establishing himself in every aspect of Sherlock's life. Had that fueled Wilkes's determination to pursue this business far beyond the recovery of that damned chip? A little punishment, perhaps, to teach Sherlock that no one who leaves Sebastian Wilkes was entitled to find comfort elsewhere, and a little terror to convince John Watson to leave Sherlock Holmes to his own devices. That last would probably have worked with anyone but John. Was this why Wilkes wasn't running? Could he be that determined to re-establish their connection? The smuggling case might very well have been his first attempt to call Sherlock to heel. Wilkes must have been bitterly disappointed at the outcome of that business. Was this why Wilkes wasn't running? Could he be that determined to re-establish their connection? The smuggling case might very well have been his first attempt to call Sherlock to heel. Wilkes must have been bitterly disappointed at the outcome of that business. Sherlock shook his head. No. No, it wouldn't do. Even an idiotic, delusional hedonist like Wilkes would not risk so much for another go at a humiliating Sherlock Holmes. Not after all these years. If the chip was merely a lark, and Sherlock merely a pleasant diversion, what would drive the man to ground rather than leaving the country? Unknown. No answer. Sherlock shook his head. No, it wouldn't do. Even an idiotic, delusional hedonist like Wilkes would not risk so much for another go at humiliating Sherlock Holmes. Not after all these years. If the chip was merely a lark, and Sherlock merely a pleasant diversion, what would drive the man to ground rather than leaving the country? Unknown. No answer. Review the available data. Sebastian Wilkes. Well-educated, but unintelligent. Sadistic. Self-absorbed. Indiscreet. A thrill-seeker. Wealthy, but not quite so wealthy as he had been in years past. Indifferent to matters of politics, ignorant of the world of espionage. Role in the theft of the chip, unspecified. Motivation, unknown. Cullen. First name, unknown. Well-educated. Sadistic. Accustomed to the finer things, but fallen on hard times. Experience as a mercenary and interrogator. Fought like a street fighter. Contempt for British military. Unusually familiar relationship with his employer. Took active part in the theft of the chip. Possessed knowledge about both his marks that was unlikely to originate solely with Wilkes. Motivation, also unknown. Pete. Last name unknown. Public school accent overlaid with atrocious attempt at a cockney. Wore working clothes and boots which did not fit him. Fought like someone trained by the military. Manicured fingernails. Exuded an air of authority despite Cullen's treatment of him as hired muscle. uninterested in Cullen's torture chamber hijinks. Role in the theft, unknown. Sherlock picked up his phone from the arm of the sofa and began to text. Source of leak regarding courier route, SH. Source of leak, RE, courier route, SH. Surely Mycroft had this end of things sorted by now. Surely Mycroft had this end of things sorted by now. There was an uncommonly long pause before Mycroft's reply, and Sherlock's muscles tightened in impatience. Sherlock snarled in frustration. As if he weren't able to deduce that much himself. As if Mrs. Hudson couldn't deduce that much. Sherlock snarled in frustration. As if he weren't able to deduce that much himself. As if Mrs. Hudson couldn't deduce that much. Am amazed by this. Please amaze me further by supplying name of highly placed person. S.H. Am amazed by this. Please amaze me further by supplying name of highly placed person. S.H. An interminable pause. Sherlock growled at the phone, thumbs flying across the keyboard. Bugger inadvisability. Information vital to investigation. Cough it up now. S.H. Bugger inadvisability. Information vital to investigation. Cough it up now. S.H. Another pause. Sherlock restrained his impulse to throw the phone out the window. J.W. on his way to wedge certain item in certain orifice. S.H. J.W. on his way to wedge certain item in certain orifice. S.H. Sherlock started counting. His phone chimed 5 seconds in. Sherlock caught his breath. Extortion. Extortion. How could he have been so stupid? Flipping through the tabloid websites, he froze, staring at a photo of a well-dressed man attempting to shield his face from the camera. The pieces came together like the memento on his mantle. There you are, Sherlock whispered. I have you now. Sherlock caught his breath. Extortion. Extortion! How could he have been so stupid? Flipping through the tabloid websites, he froze, staring at a photo of a well-dressed man attempting to shield his face from the camera. The pieces came together like the memento on his mantle. There you are, Sherlock whispered. I have you now. Sherlock looked up, startled, to see John smiling at him. It was his proud smile, and one that never failed to scramble Sherlock's thought processes. Sherlock looked up, startled, to see John smiling at him. It was his proud smile, and one that never failed to scramble Sherlock's thought processes. I think so. We might be in for a little more trouble, John. John chuckled. He glanced at his watch and gave Sherlock his physician's once-over. I'm fine. Do you need anything? John replied in a wry tone. Sherlock turned to face him full-on, ignoring the pain. So he'd been right. Somehow, impossibly, John had reached this conclusion. Wilkes. Wilkes? Sherlock said stupidly. John said quietly. Protect him? Good God! Sherlock recovered his composure. Wilkes is completely irrelevant to... Protect him? Good God! Sherlock recovered his composure. Wilkes is completely irrelevant to... Sherlock found himself unable to respond. John's hands clenched the folds of Sherlock's coat, his pale face flushing. Your analysis, John said flatly. This was impossible. John had no data. He could not know this. Sherlock felt his jaw drop. John was angry. John was furious about, of all things, a trivial conversation that had taken place almost a year ago. Sherlock felt his jaw drop. John was angry. John was furious about, of all things, a trivial conversation that had taken place almost a year ago. John's breathing became harsh and erratic. John. The name forced itself from Sherlock's constricted throat. Hyperbole makes a poor argument.
Hyperbole makes a poor argument, Sherlock heard himself stammer. John ploughed ahead as if he hadn't spoken. Sherlock's throat closed. Loquacity aside, this was so quintessentially John. This quixotic gallantry, it was ridiculous. And oh God, it was magnificent. In a completely unnecessary way, like art, or... Sherlock's throat closed. Loquacity aside, this was so quintessentially John. This quixotic gallantry, it was ridiculous. And, oh God, it was magnificent. In a completely unnecessary way, like art, or... He doesn't... John, Sherlock said thickly, giving up. He had no idea how John had reached these conclusions. It didn't matter. They were undeniably accurate, and led to only one salient fact, which John had been stubbornly failing to acknowledge since they'd been thrown into that car boot. He had no idea how John had reached these conclusions. It didn't matter. They were undeniably accurate, and led to only one salient fact, which John had been stubbornly failing to acknowledge since they'd been thrown into that car boot. Wilkes's involvement is completely irrelevant. I'm responsible for this. My judgment... Wilkes's involvement in this is completely irrelevant. I'm responsible for this. My judgment... I failed to... John's anger faded to pure weariness. Bugger the case! Sherlock struggled for control as his heresy echoed off the walls. I failed you! Bugger the case! I failed you! The amazement in John's face derailed his thought again. That voice was gentler than Sherlock could process. And then John was moving, sitting up, swinging his legs in that damn cast to the floor. Sherlock was out of his chair before he knew he was moving. He caught John's legs and swung him around again, forcing him to lie down. That voice was gentler than Sherlock could process. And then John was moving, sitting up, swinging his legs in that damn cast to the floor. Sherlock was out of his seat before he knew he was moving. He caught John's legs and swung him around again, forcing him to lie down. What the hell do you think you're doing? What the hell do you think you're doing? He hissed. You're held together with sutures and plaster. Just lie there and be happy you're alive. John looked up at him with a wry smile. Sherlock stood there stupidly, blinking, still holding John's legs. He tried to regulate his breathing and failed miserably. He gave up. How many bones would you have let him break, John? Sherlock was fairly certain of a reasonable answer, even from John. Surely John had thought this through. John would have drawn a line, acknowledged the reality of the situation, and let Cullen continue his work on his true target. If Sherlock hadn't freed himself, John would have acted. He would have saved himself. I want an answer, he rasped. He needed an answer. John muttered. Sherlock felt himself go hot, then cold, then numb, as he gently lowered John's legs to the sofa. No, he said unsteadily. That's unacceptable, that's... He broke off at the grim look on John's face, and sank to perch on the sofa, taking hold of John's shoulder. Never again, he said, in a voice that sounded nothing like his own. Do you hear me? I won't have it. John said nothing. Please, Sherlock whispered, his vocal cords failing him. John turned toward him with bright eyes and laid a hand on Sherlock's cheek. John whispered. Sherlock kissed him. He'd always considered kissing an unpleasant and unnecessary preamble to the unpleasant and necessary business of dealing with those rare occasions when his libido made itself known. Sherlock found himself re-examining that assessment. No one had ever kissed him like John. Gentle and thorough, and God, as if he loved every second of it, as if he wanted this and nothing else. Sherlock kissed him.
He had always considered kissing an unpleasant and unnecessary preamble to the unpleasant and necessary business of dealing with those rare occasions when his libido made itself known. Sherlock found himself re-examining that assessment. No one had ever kissed him like John. Gentle and thorough. And God, as if he loved every second of it. As if he wanted this and nothing else. Sherlock became vaguely aware that John was holding his head between shaking hands, as if Sherlock might pull away. Had he the breath and the use of his tongue, Sherlock would have assured him that he had no such intention. He attempted to communicate this with as much creativity as the limits of human physiology would allow, and was rewarded as John groaned softly into the kiss. Sherlock became vaguely aware that John was holding his head between shaking hands, as if Sherlock might pull away. Had he the breath and the use of his tongue, Sherlock would have assured him that he had no such intention. He attempted to communicate this with as much creativity as the limits of human physiology would allow, and was rewarded as John groaned softly into the kiss. John broke away and stared up at Sherlock with wide eyes. His voice shook. Sherlock seized his mouth again. Too much data. Too much, John. Too much. He felt John bury his hands in his hair, caressing him as if he were something precious. He felt John kick off Sherlock's coat and pulled him back slightly, startled. John. John? John murmured huskily, pulling Sherlock by the arm as he swung his good leg off the sofa. Something in that voice demanded compliance. Sherlock allowed John to pull him on top of him, careful not to jostle John's cast. He noted his own accelerated heart rate with interest, as John's hand slipped down Sherlock's side to rest comfortably in the small of Sherlock's back. John's other hand stroked the hair back from Sherlock's face. Sherlock closed his eyes and willed his muscles to stop their shaking. It was distracting him from the pure pleasure of John's touch. As if divining his thought, John moved his other leg back onto the sofa, cocooning Sherlock completely. Sherlock rested his forehead on the cushion next to John. John's lips and tongue immediately began teasing the skin behind Sherlock's right ear. He breathed. All right. The man was demented. The man was demented. John, have I ever been shy about letting you know when something is not all right? John, have I ever been shy about letting you know when something is not all right? John chuckled. Then you may assume that everything and anything you're doing or about to do is all right. Then you may assume that everything and anything you're doing or about to do is all right. John curled his fingers around Sherlock's left hand and lifted it to his mouth. He proceeded to astound Sherlock by dropping a light kiss to his palm that sent an absurd shiver up Sherlock's spine. He proceeded to astound Sherlock by dropping a light kiss to his palm that sent an absurd shiver up Sherlock's spine. Sherlock wearily resolved to abandon any further attempt to extrapolate John's behaviour from established norms. It was obviously a pointless exercise. Given John's history and character, he had anticipated a direct approach. Why he didn't have Sherlock on his hands and knees already, he couldn't fathom. He was obviously in uncharted territory. Breathing was an issue. He was getting hard. A kiss on the hand was making him hard. It was preposterous. It was obviously a pointless exercise. Given John's history and character, he had anticipated a direct approach. Why he didn't have Sherlock on his hands and knees already, he couldn't fathom. He was obviously in uncharted territory. Breathing was an issue. He was getting hard. A kiss on the hand was making him hard. It was preposterous. John kissed Sherlock's temple, resting his head against Sherlock's. Conversation. Good Lord. John wanted to talk. Conversation. Good Lord. John wanted to talk. I know. I know. Sherlock tried not to sound smug, purely for the novelty of the attempt, and failed. He wasn't overly concerned. Modesty was, after all, profoundly overrated. Only in England? Only in England. Sherlock noted with considerable annoyance that his voice shook. The Commonwealth weeps. the Commonwealth weeps. I've been told they're my best feature. I've been told they're my best feature.